Well, hello, everybody. This is Kathy Caprino, and welcome, welcome to our second monthly call with our Career Success Training Program. So I'm absolutely thrilled you're here. Thank you for taking the time. I know that you, like me, have an absolute crazy, crazy schedule, so I really appreciate you taking the time to explore today's topic, which is speaking more powerfully with greater confidence and self-esteem. I love this topic. As many of you know, I am a career success and leadership coach for women, and I want to tell you the issue of, oh dear, my phone's ringing in, and I absolutely should have blocked call waiting, so sorry for that, folks. We're just going to ignore those beeps. Thank you. All right, so yes. So the issue of speaking up more powerfully comes up, I would say, almost daily in my coaching work with women. And there are reasons for that. We're going to dig right in. Women communicate differently from men. They have different communication challenges from men. They process those challenges differently. So we're going to dig right in and explore all that. But before we launch in, let me just tell you, for those of you who are new, a little bit about how this works. There are two ways you can access this call. One, on the phone, and those of you who are here have the login info. You know what to do there. Some of you are joining online, which is awesome, and you're going to be able to hear and see the slides that that I have. Now, for those of you who can't make the whole presentation, know that this call is being recorded, and you will get a link to this. You'll get an email with a link and to the recording and a copy of the PDF slides so that you can refer to these again and again and at your convenience. Okay? A few other things. We're going to be on the phone if you can stay with me for an hour and 15 minutes. And what I'd love to do is give you a lot of content for about 45 minutes, and then I will open it up to your questions. So those of you who are on the phone, you're all muted so that we don't have any background noise. But later I'm going to let you open it up, and you can press star 7 on your phone to talk. And, you know, if we can have a few little breaks throughout the 45 minutes, I'll try to do that so you can ask a question if you've got a burning one during the content part. Again, calls are recorded, and you'll get that link within 24 hours. I want to share with you, too, that I have very specific ideas for the curriculum every month of this. And the idea is, you know, if you join me once, that's lovely. The more ideal scenario is if you join every month, because this is a curriculum that covers the core topics that I've seen in working with women for 10 years, and in my research and my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, and in my writing for Forbes. These topics that we're going to cover over a year are the most essential success topics. And I don't feel that they're covered well enough or often enough or deep enough in a lot of other training programs. So I hope you'll join me for the year. That would be fantastic. Again, the curriculum is somewhat set, but I'm really open to your thoughts and your deep burning questions. So make sure to send me your questions if you'd like I'll give you that link later. And do know that there's a Career Success Training Facebook page, which I'd love to build that into a really vibrant community. Share your wins, your achievements, your challenges. I hope you'll join us there. And do stay on the call till the end, because I have a special gift for you just for folks who are joining me today. All right, so let's launch right in. Again, we're talking about speaking more powerfully with greater confidence, self-esteem. Confidence and self-esteem. Okay, I'm going to the slides. So those of you who are online, you're going to be able to follow along. And again, don't worry if you can't, because you'll get that as a PDF. What I would like you to do is get a pad and pencil in front of you. And here's what I say in all my workshops and all my talks. I'd like you to think about what I say that resonates with you, that you go, wow, yeah, that's so right, that's so my challenge, you know. And write that down, put a check mark next to it, because that's where you have a lot of energy, and that's an area that would be very useful for you to address. But almost more importantly, when I say something or someone else says something that you resist, that you think, oh, no, I don't want that to be the case, or, oh, that'll never be me, or anything that you push against and resist, that's where the deepest learning for you is. Because, you know, I call them power gaps. We're going to learn about those in a minute. We all have power gaps. We all have areas where we feel less than, where we're not as confident, we're not as energized, we're not as sure-footed. And when you can walk into those areas and, you know, open your heart and open your mind to critique and to growing in those, so when you walk right to what you resist and keep walking instead of breaking yourself against it, that's when you grow exponentially. So I hope you'll do that. Okay, launching into our content. What are we talking about today? I want to cover five key points. What is effective and ineffective communication? The top six communication challenges women face today. How to tell if or when your communication needs improvement. Six keys to powering up your communications. And building a breakthrough action plan to enhance your communication success. So that's a lot to cover in an hour, but I'm going to try to give you as much depth as possible. And again, where does this information come from? It comes from me working with over 10,000 women in 10 years, professional women who want to build amazing success and, you know, are committed to doing what it takes, but they have challenges. So it comes from that work. It comes from my interviews on Forbes and Huffington Post with, you know, folks that are moving and shaking industry and business and their own ventures, and, you know, learning what their communication challenges are and how they've overcome them. And it comes from my year-long research study that led to my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. So there we go. Let's just jump right in here. What is effective communication? All right, so I've noticed that there are, and when we're talking about communication, I want to share, we're talking about all forms of it, written, verbal, nonverbal, physical, you know, we cannot not communicate. Everything we do is communication. Our energy is communicated. Our thoughts and beliefs are communicated. Even when we don't want them to be, they are communicated. So what is effective communication? And when I'm talking in this hour, I'm sharing not just about business communication. It can relate to your personal life as well. It can relate to you on the job, you know, you with your friends, you and your volunteer work. So this is kind of an overarching view of what communication is, but with a focus on how do we help you build more happiness, success, and reward in your career. So that's what this is all about. So what is effective communication? The first piece is that it motivates, engages, and enlivens. So, you know, when you look at the people that you admire most, the people that are rocking it in their businesses, in their corporate jobs, in their books, in their writing, in their speaking, they are almost always doing these things, motivating, engaging, and enlivening. And why is that so important? Because when we have big things to do in the world, when we have a mission or a purpose or something that matters to us, unless we're motivating and engaging others, we're going to really hit a lot of roadblocks. You know, I always say this, you can't do what you want, all the big stuff you want to in the world, alone and in a vacuum. You need help. You need loyal ambassadors, people that will speak for you, people that will spread the word and share how wonderful you are and all, you know, how wonderful your work is. But for that to happen, your communication has to motivate and engage people to want to support you. So that's one important part of effective communication. Another important ingredient is that it moves the action forward in positive ways. Yeah, you can have very punitive and put-down style of communication, and you'll get stuff done. But it won't move the action forward consistently, and it won't do it in a positive way. You know, one example of this is, those of you who've listened to me before know I had an 18-year corporate career in publishing and marketing and membership services. And it ended after 9/11, after I was brutally laid off, and then I became a therapist and a career coach. And you can read more about that on my blog or in my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. But in my last corporate job, there were lots of dysfunctional leaders, lots of them. And I remember being in a meeting. I was the vice president, so there was one level between me and the president of the company, the senior vice president. So I was in a senior executive meeting, so what, 20 of us. And my boss, who at the time was not thought well of, and he was later fired, was saying something that he thought was important. And the president turned to him and said, "Well, duh." And I thought, oh, really? Duh? Duh? D-U-H is a word that's going to come out of the president's mouth, and that's what he's going to say in response to my boss in front of the senior leaders. So, and he was later fired as well. The truth is, you know, that kind of communication, that snarky, put down, condescending, damaging, detrimental kind of talk, that negative talk, it's going to get stuff done. People are going to be afraid and they're going to jump and, you know, do what you want them to, but for a very short time. And then you're going to lose them. All right, the third ingredient is it builds on others' contributions. I can't tell you how powerful this is when we're talking communication. Instead of focusing all around you and what you want and what's important to you and your values, if we can build on others, if we can credit others, if we can fold them in to what we're doing, if we can validate others, your communication is going to go so much farther and your success level is going to go so much farther because you're building on and supporting others. Let me just give you a quick example of that. I just wrote a Forbes blog yesterday on how not to blow your big media interview. And I was going with six important steps and strategies. And I got on the phone with a dear friend who I'm doing a media workshop with, and she said, "I've got a seventh step." And she shared a tip that she had just heard on the train from a great guy, Adam Ritchie, who runs his own branding and PR firm. I thought the tip was fabulous. So I said, "Can I quote you and can I quote him?" So there it is, the seventh step is thanks to them. And, you know, how did they feel to be recognized? How did he feel that he just mentioned a big tip to him, you know, in passing to my friend Jennifer? And there we go, it's in a Forbes blog. So we build on others' contributions because that also motivates and engages and moves the action forward in positive ways. All right, a fourth ingredient is that it engenders collaboration and support. So that's like our first point, motivating and engaging. But what you want is, even when you're putting something on the table that other people don't agree with, whether you're negotiating a contract and you're on one side and they're on the other, you want to make sure that you are eliciting as much collaboration as you can. Another ingredient is that it empowers others. So you want to make sure that in your communication you're not tearing down and you're not stating your view as fact, but you're empowering others to have their beliefs, to share their beliefs, to challenge the status quo. Part of great communication is that it empowers everyone around you. Along with that, another ingredient is that it fosters self-reliance, trust, and growth in the people around you. You know, the best leaders are not the ones who have to do everything, are not, as you know, not the ones that have to micromanage and, you know, get their buy-in on everything or say yes to everything, and everything has to be vetted through them. That's not great leadership, and that's not great communication. We need to foster self-reliance in others. And finally, effective communication shares an inspired vision, and that's a big topic. What that means is when you are communicating, when you're sharing, when you are pitching or advocating for something, there needs to be a vision behind it that other people can understand. Then it's going to be clear what your agenda is and why it's important to you. And you can get so much more collaboration and support if you share a vision of why this thing is important to you and be very transparent about that. So that's effective communication. So what's ineffective communication? Well, it's not necessarily the flip side of all that. I've found that ineffective communication, communication that sets you backward, hurts you, damages your reputation, makes people question if they should trust you. That's ineffective communication. So what are the hallmarks of that? First, that it's overly emotional. I've found, and oh boy, there's a lot written about this, you know, women tend to be more emotionally intelligent and more emotional at work. And a lot of people have said, is this good? Is this bad? I would say this is my take, controversial as it may be. First of all, in corporate America, it's still predominantly a white male competitive career model. This is not to bash men at all. This is to recognize that the competitive model that emerged was created by men because women were not in the workforce, you know, in great abundance all those years ago. So, you know, what does that mean? The dominant way of being and thinking is male. And that is going to make, and that's why I believe, you know, we're still at 17% of corporate leadership is women. And that's a whole topic for another teleclass. But all of this to point out that we are being judged within the milieu or environment or culture that we're engaged in. So, you know, one important thing to do, we're going to talk about this later, is understand your culture. What is the dominant way of communicating? And you have to understand that. Doesn't mean you have to adopt it, but you certainly need to know what it is so that you know what is accepted, what is encouraged, you know, in terms of style. And there's so much about that in terms of the cultural differences in which we communicate. It's quite something. But back to being overly emotional, this is what I think. And I want you to know I've experienced all of these challenges. You know, in my training as a marriage and family therapist, which was very much about communication theory, systems theory, I learned a lot about subconsciously what I was doing in my communication. But back to the overly emotional, I feel that when we are overly emotional, when our emotions are not balanced, the receiver of our communications is in a different place. They're kind of defending themselves, or, you know, the way I see it is their hands are up kind of protecting themselves when we're going off on an emotional tirade. It blocks the message when there are high emotions swimming around the message. So when we can be more balanced and be in greater control of our emotions, our communication will be more effective. What else makes communication ineffective? When it's one-sided. When you're just talking blah, 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 blah about your point of view, and you're not letting in that others are going to see it differently, and you're not embracing or eliciting, all right, folks, let me hear what you think. Challenge. Elicit it. Don't run from it. You know, you can certainly state your viewpoint powerfully and authoritatively, but if you end there, and you don't open it up for dialogue and discussion, it's not effective. A third way communication is ineffective is when you're blind to the impact. I can't tell you how this has negatively affected me. In one of my corporate jobs when I was a director, I had some thoughts about, I used to run market research for them, and I had, based on everything we heard from customers, hundreds and hundreds of them, I thought we should consider a new direction that was a very different business model. And I sent out an email to everyone, to the president, to the CFO, the numbers of directors, saying based on this 100th focus group that we had, I think we need to rethink this business model, you know, once and for all, and do a financial assessment of what it would take to move in another direction, XYZ. Well, I was totally blind to the impact of that. It turns out the new company that had bought us and the president was violently opposed to that idea. They wanted to stay put in that one business model that wasn't working. And, wow, I was blind to how inflammatory my email was. And, boy, it wasn't pretty. Turns out the whole business model did go up in flames about 10 years later, but it was my email was 10 years too soon. So don't be blind to the impact of what you're saying. Know how the audience is going to receive it before you launch it. What else makes communication ineffective? It's hurtful, not helpful. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but someone told me once, you can say anything if you say it with love and with care, and that is the truth. I believe it. But if you're hurtful and your objective is to tear someone down, you're not going to be effective, and you're going to ruin your reputation. Another thing that makes communication ineffective, when it's weak, apologetic, or vague. And I'm going to get into some specifics here. But when you are asking for a raise, for instance, or when you are advocating for your viewpoint, if you waffle, if you use weak language, if you're apologetic, oh, I'm sorry to ask this, but shouldn't we be looking at blah, blah, blah? And we're going to talk about don't say you're sorry when you don't mean you're sorry. We have to watch that. All right? Other ways that communication is ineffective, if it's faulty and, excuse me, and inaccurate. Obviously, when you're presenting something, you're presenting your research, you're talking about your project, if you present inaccurate information, you're going to lose all credibility. Two more things that make communication ineffective, when it's unfocused. How many times have you been in a meeting and someone begins to speak and it's all over the place? You don't even know if there's a point in there. And you certainly don't hear a point that relates to what was just said or the point of the meeting. That makes communication ineffective, and that, too, cripples your ability to grow and thrive and succeed. And finally, if you put out messages that are, you know, contradictory all at once, and I'll give you examples later, but you need to, before you launch your messages, before you communicate, get clear on the point that you're making. And if there's anything that's contradictory in your thoughts and your beliefs and your worries, you've got to work that out before you launch into your communication. All right. How are we doing? Anybody have... Oh, I'm seeing more and more people on the call. That's wonderful. Does anybody have a quick question on what I shared just now? If you do, you just press *7 and you can start to speak. And I can take a very quick question on any of that. *7, or if you're online, what you can do is just type in your question on the screen and press submit, and I'll get to see those. And I'll take them in the order that they come. All right. Anybody have a question? No? All right. I'll keep going here. Let's get to the heart of this, which is, what are women challenged with? What are the top 6 communication challenges women face today? You can read more about this in my Forbes blog. I did a post just on this, the top 6 communication challenges women face. Here's what I've seen over and over and over. Women, more than men, and I'll tell you why I think that is in a minute, are challenged with these 6 issues. First of all, they're challenged with taking credit where credit is due. They're challenged with taking things too personally. 3, negotiating effectively for what you deserve. 4, challenging authority and power. 5, obtaining sponsors. This is not mentors, this is sponsors, and I'll share with you the difference in a minute, who can influence your growth. And finally, projecting self-confidence and a powerful presence. So I believe that there's a number of factors, a confluence of factors and ingredients that go into why women are challenged in this way with these issues. I think there's some neurobiology going on there, and if you read the book The Female Brain and the Male Brain by Dr. Luann Brizendine, which I think are fascinating books, you can see that, you know, our brains are hardwired differently. And some of that is through evolution and what our, you know, key goals were when we were trying to survive so many hundreds of thousands of years ago. So if you think about it, you know, if we're in kind of a communal setting where, let's say, we're living in a cave or, you know, together with other women because we were physically weaker, we hung together, and it was necessary for the survival of our children that we supported each other. So our brains are hardwired differently for connection, for empathy, for reading emotional cues, for kind of mitigating conflict. Men's brains are wired very differently, very differently. They don't have those same goals. And it's you know, it's obvious through the neurobiology. And I do believe that we have cultural training that's different as well. Every one of us knows, I think, that you know, women who are strident, who speak up authoritatively, who are unabashed in how they communicate, can often be penalized in today's workplace. I don't think that's going to be the same in 50 years, but it is today. So there's cultural training that tells us don't shine too brightly. I remember my mother, who's Greek, used to say, may the evil eye not see you. And she would say that to me often when something amazing happened, or even if she thought I was bragging a little bit and she wanted me to, you know, come down to size. But I had this feeling that the evil eye was going to get me if something good happened. Well, that is a very typically female trait, not a male trait. All right, so let's launch into these a little bit. But first, I want to tell you, how can you tell if your communication is not working? How do you know? You probably have an inkling, but here's how you really can tell. First of all, people don't respond well to your words and actions. I can't tell you how many people have said, you know, why is it when I speak up it goes very badly? People get mad, people get defensive, people start backstabbing me. You know, if people don't respond well to your words and actions, it's your communication style that needs to shift. Or, you know, you have a hidden agenda that maybe is not as overt as it needs to be. There's something going on with the communication approach that needs to be shifted. You know your communication isn't working if your point doesn't get made, right? If you say things but the point isn't made, people don't get it. People don't say, oh, I see what you're saying, and then move on from there. You also know your communication isn't working if you're not taken seriously. Something's wrong with the level of authoritativeness in how you are communicating. Another issue is if there's backlash from your words, if you constantly feel like it goes badly when you speak up, that there's negative backlash. Or if nothing's remembered, you know, you'll give a presentation, you'll be in a meeting and you'll speak, but it seems like nothing's remembered and taken away or acted on from what you share. Another way you can tell if your communication isn't working, if you're not moving forward, it means something is in the way of you propelling to the next level. Something is in the way, and most often it is how we communicate and how we engage with others and how we connect and the space that we create between us and others. There's something that's holding you back. And finally, if when you communicate, you're chronically feeling afraid or anxious or confused. Let me give you an example. I grew up with a parenting style that was basically I couldn't challenge one parent. If I did, it went very, very badly, very badly. So I grew up not being able to challenge people. And it went on. It went on for years. Now, I got over it in the business world, but when I would challenge people, my heart would be beating so fast, and I'd be so worried that I'd come across too strident, too demanding, too aggressive. My own sister called me a bully, you know, and that wasn't an uncommon thing to think. Well, that was because I really didn't know how to gently stand up for myself. And I had to learn that through years of my therapy training, getting some therapy myself, doing some spiritual work. But if you feel, and I want to share with you, I remember one of my first weeks when I was getting my master's in marriage and family therapy. My first professor, she was very kind of dictatorial. She said, this is how it is. And she didn't want to hear from us. And I would raise my hand and challenge. So I got over challenging it, but I'd be so afraid. And she would not really dig it because she didn't want to be challenged. But to me, it was important questions to ask. But I would leave the class thinking, oh, are they going to kick me out of the program? I told a friend, and she said, goodness me, you really are worried when you speak up. So if you're anxious and afraid, that's something very important that you work on, that we work on with you. All right. Following along in the slides here. So we just talked about what is ineffective communication. I've uncovered what I think are some of the root causes of ineffective communications, and I want to share them with you. I can't go into incredible depth, but if you want more work on this, you just let me know, and there are ways we can make that happen. I'll tell you about that at the end of the call. So let's look at, okay, what happens, and then what could be the root cause. So when people don't respond well to you, what might be a root cause? Well, one thing to think of is, are there emotions or hidden agendas in the way? So sometimes what people share with you, they're sharing because of their own agenda. And their own agenda might really not be for the greater good. And so because that's hidden, or let's say you're sharing something and when they come back at you, it's because they have a hidden agenda that's clashing with what they think your agenda is. So, you know, what do we have to do about that? Try to clarify hidden agendas, your own and the people you're communicating with and to. Here's another ineffective communication outcome. Your point doesn't get made. Okay, why is that happening? Well, the root cause, I think, is you're lacking in some clarity or focus. No one knows what you're trying to say. So you've got to get more clear and more focused. Get rid of all the filler words and say what you really want to say. If you're not taken seriously, what's going on? I think your behavior or your reputation is undermining your words. So you may be speaking powerfully, but if there's other things going on in terms of how people perceive you, it may be that your reputation or how people perceive you is undermining how people hear what you're trying to communicate. If there's backlash, it means that you have elicited fear or anger in your words. And again, how do we avoid that? You need to predict what the outcome is before you just blurt out what you want. Let's say you want a raise. Before you just blurt it out to your boss, you've got to predict what the outcome is going to be, and then build a case around that so that you can, you know, shape it positively. If nothing's remembered from your communication, nobody, it's like you're invisible, it means you haven't created enough clout. Clout is the power to influence, the power to direct. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And finally, if you're not moving forward, no matter what you do, it's possibly that you're just not seen as an authoritative, confident, or powerful individual. You're not seen as a leader, and your communication style can definitely impact that. All right, so that's something to think about. I hope you're taking notes where, you know, what I'm really wanting you to do, I want every one of these calls to be about breakthrough, that you hang up and you, by what you're listening to, by the insights that have come to you, by you gaining awareness, I always say greater awareness equals greater choice, you will leave this call with greater choice about how you will communicate and what you will shift inside and outside. So I hope you're taking notes on this. All right. 8 requirements of powerful communication. Well, we've touched on some of this, but let's just reiterate it, and then we're going to dig in with 6 steps for you to build a more powerful communication style. What do you need for powerful communication? It needs to be emotionally balanced. It needs to honor the value of your ideas and other people's. You really have to get out of kind of a narcissistic framework. And if you're always coming from a place of validation, I need validation, I need someone to say, my work is good, my performance was good, that idea was good, that is going to truly, that need of yours is going to get in the way, because people will feel that neediness and that repels support. Powerful communication demonstrates also self-mastery, internal power and confidence. So what I mean by that is, look at where you feel really confident in what you know, in your knowledge, in your experience, in your wisdom, in your background. Where do you feel like a master? Many, many people in their jobs don't. They've ended up somehow, They feel like they've landed in work that they're not suited for, that they're not good at. That was me. That was me. I always felt like an imposter. When you're feeling that way, it's very hard for your communication to sound authoritative and powerful because you don't feel it inside. So think about, do I feel masterful in my work? Am I in touch with my internal power and my confidence? And if not, what am I going to do about that? Because hard as you try to sound assertive, to sound self-confident, you're going to have a hard time if you really don't feel it in your heart. Powerful communication also reveals truth and possibility. It's not black and white. It isn't. It's you're going to reveal the truth as you see it, but you're going to be open. You're going to have a really inclusive mindset, and you're going to allow for more possibility and more expansion than what your ideas are all about. Powerful communication also expresses empathy. Empathy. I understand where you're coming from. I may not agree. In fact, I don't. But I really hear where you're coming from, and I can see how you would feel that or think that. So you need to think about, how can I be more empathic in my communications so that people feel safe and people feel heard? Powerful communication, we talked about this, also elicits engagement. It engenders respect and trust. And it exudes a sense of leadership. And by that I mean, there's one way to look at leadership. Well, there's lots of ways and amazing resources out there in the world about what great leadership is. I feel that one ingredient is it's other-focused, not self-focused. Great leaders who rise to the top of an enterprise, for the most part, great leaders, I mean, some people rise and don't belong there, don't we know? But great leaders are not thinking about themselves constantly. They're thinking about, how do I empower my staff, the employees? How do I build their strengths, build their talents? How do I move the enterprise forward? They aren't thinking about, how do I get ahead? How do I get ahead? How do I get ahead? So those are some hallmarks of powerful communication. And what I want to do now is talk about 6 keys to powering up your communication. And I want to read to you the 6 important strategies that I'd like you to begin thinking about, begin exploring, and begin embracing. The first is take credit where credit is due. The second is take nothing personally, and we're going to get into depth on all of these. The third, negotiate and ask for what you want and what you deserve. The fourth, learn how to challenge the status quo and challenge power where appropriate. Number 5, obtain mentors and sponsors who can influence your growth. And number 6, increase your self-confidence and build a more powerful presence. All right. I'm going to take a sip of water. And in the meantime, does anyone have a question? I'm throwing a lot at you. I'd love to hear from you. You can press *7 to talk. Do you have a question on what's been shared, about how it relates to you, about what you may be doing right, what needs a little bit of improvement? Anybody have a question? Nobody? All right. Let me just go to the online Q&A page and make sure no one submitted anything. Okay. Terrific. But, again, don't be shy. I know some of you are in a situation where you're listening but you can't speak because there's cubes or offices around you. I certainly understand that, but I would tell you this. If you have a question, please be bold enough to share it, because I'd love this to be an interactive coaching session as well, if I can. And every question you have represents hundreds of other people just like you. So when you're bold enough to ask your question, you're actually helping so many other people. So I'll give you one more chance. *7, any questions? All right. Let's go back to the slides. So, 6 ways to power up your communication style. The first, take credit where credit is due. Okay, how do we do this? And I know know I'm giving you a lot of content, and I have a lot of resources and materials that you can read to help on each of these points. So take notes and let me know what you'd like follow-up on. Excuse me. So the first is, how do I take credit where credit is due? How do I do that? It's hard for me. I don't like talking about myself. I don't know how to talk about what I've done without it sounding like bragging. Women are loath to brag. They don't want to brag. And I think, again, that's cultural training. We're very cued in emotionally to what other people think. And when we state very confidently what we've done, some people are ruffled by that. So what do? The first thing is develop your personal brand. I can't emphasize this enough. Whether you have your own business, whether you're in the corporate world, and you're a manager and you want to grow to the director, or you're a director and you want to be a president, whatever it is, you have to know your personal brand. You have to know who you are, what you stand for, what you do that's above and beyond all the competition, right? What are your strengths and talents and the background that you have in your, and that can be even your traumas and your history. How does it all come together and make you better at what you do? One particular thing, or, you know, your role, what makes you stand out? If you can't answer that, you're not speaking powerfully enough. Let me give you a very quick example. You know, when people need a coach, and they might say, well, tell me about your coaching, Kathy. I will tell them that I had an 18-year corporate career, and it was very bumpy, and there were no solutions then. And then after a brutal layoff, I became a therapist. I learned so much there about, as we said, communication theory, systems theory, power dynamics. And then I became a coach and did, you know, a year-long research study, wrote my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, and now it's all about helping women build amazing career success. That's who I am. That's my niche. That's my sweet spot. Now, if someone, you know, wants that, then they know they've come to the right place. So knowing your personal brand allows you to filter out all the noise, all, you know, what you don't want in your life, what you don't want in your role and your work. But you have to know how you stand out. Take my career path self-assessment. You can download that on my website. It's free. A guy said to me, am I going to get a score? It's not that kind of assessment. It's helping you gain clarity on who you are and what matters to you. All right. You have to identify and own your contributions. You've got to know what your value is. What is your value in the workplace? What does someone who has what you have, who's done what you've done, what are they worth in the marketplace? Who's clamoring for those talents and skills? You've got to know that. And I want to tell you, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of resumes, and most of them are god-awful. They speak in platitudes. They speak in terms that, you know, they picked it up online. You know, how do I write a resume? Seasoned, go-getter, committed, you know, marketing professional. You really do have to understand, what have I done? What are my special contributions? And how did they move the business forward? What was the impact? So even on your resume, you've got to know, and you know, oh, that's a whole other topic. We might cover it. Let me know if you want it on resumes. It has to be measurable so we can understand the scope. When you've brought in a new client, is that worth $2 million or $20 or $200? What's the scope of what you've done? What's the impact? What are the measurable outcomes? You've got to begin to share what you've accomplished in an open, excited way. And I know you. You're not going to do it in a bragging way. You're going to do it in an excited way, but you've got to start doing it. If you don't speak about what you've done, no one else will. On the flip side, in order to take credit where credit is due, you never want to blame and you never want to backstab and you never want to put people down. Never. Ever. If you're in a habit of backstabbing, you need to look at why you're doing that. And there are reasons. I learned this in my therapy training. Often when we have a lot of anxiety about something, something's upsetting us, but we don't have the courage to take it on directly, we go around their back and we backstab. That's going to hurt you. That is not a communication approach that you want tied to you. So be accountable for what's happening. Deal with it directly. Don't blame. Don't backstab. Another thing I'm sure you know, but it's so important to say, you can't win if you're stepping on others. That's not winning. Or it's a certain kind of winning, but who wants it? Right? So you want to take credit where credit is due, but never pushing someone else down in the process. That's just not how to do it. Also, I'd love to point you to a small book called The Four Agreements. It was a life changer for me. It's by Don Miguel Ruiz, R-U-I-Z, The Four Agreements. It sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of copies. I love this book. But he talks about four agreements, one of them being be impeccable with your word. Impeccable coming from the root to sin. Not to sin is what he's saying. Do not sin with your words. Don't sin against yourself. Don't put yourself down in your words. Don't call yourself stupid. Don't diminish yourself. And don't diminish others. Be impeccable with your word. Get that book. It's not about communication per se, but it's about four agreements to make with yourself that will change your life. I love it. All right. Ooh, it's 12:46. Let's go quickly. Number two, how to power up your communications. Take nothing personally. That's another of the four agreements, which I love. And people say, what do you mean don't take things personally? When I'm getting attacked, when it's thrown directly at me, how do I not take that personally? What that means is, if someone's attacking you like that, or if something's coming at you like that, it's not about your soul or your spirit. It's something it has been activated in that other person, that they're afraid, or they feel they have to defend themselves. But it's not about you. It's not about, you know, who you are. Don't take it personally. So you need to manage your emotions around that. When someone's attacking you, you got to manage yourself. You got to be masterful at not losing control. Another way to do it is see what they're trying to say. If you're getting lambasted or attacked or a lot of negativity coming at you, what is their view? Why are they doing it? What are they sensing in you that's making them want to do that? Also, understand your triggers. What makes you go off the handle? Understand them and work on those triggers. Another tip is to speak the truth as you see it, but always with love and care. Again, that point that you can say anything when you say it with love. I really mean this, and I've seen this in my own life. In my own marriage, in partnerships with people, in people I've had to leave behind in partnerships. If you can say what you need to say with love and care, it's amazing what happens. You need to also build a boundary around what you believe. The more you grow, the more you and your ideas are going to clash and bump up against other people. That's life. That is life. You have to build a boundary around what matters to you most. Let me even give you an example. I hear this so often. People working in, let's say, Fortune 100 companies, they like their work, they're well-respected. Now they have a new child, and they have to leave work at 5:30, and they used to work till 8. Well, a lot of women have told me, they hear, wow, you're leaving half day, or snarky comments, or people rolling their eyes at you leaving at 5:30. Well, the question is, how important is it to you? If it's vitally important that you pick up your child and you're with your child, if that's critical to you, you have to build a boundary around you and what you believe so that their snarkiness doesn't get you down, doesn't make you feel ashamed, doesn't make you feel angst-ridden. You've got to protect what you care about. Along the lines of not taking anything personally, you want to also avoid divisive language, language that's going to pit people against each other or against you. And you definitely want to not engage in attack. If someone's attacking you, you need to step back and not get on that level. Rise above. Say, you know, we're obviously very heated. What I'd like to do is talk about this tomorrow when I've had some time to think. Make some space, in your ability to center yourself and be more balanced before you respond. All right. I hope these tips are helpful to you. Can't wait to hear your questions. Number three, about powering up your communications. Ask for what you deserve. I mean, I have examples of this ad infinitum. I mean, just even recently, in my own experience as a writer on Forbes, asking for what I deserved, you know, a certain payment, which I hadn't been getting because I was a volunteer, or you know, I did it pro bono for a while, writing on Forbes, and then I, you know, did research on what is the going rate, what are people getting? Here's what I deserve. So know what you want specifically, and know what you deserve. How do we do that? Assess the terrain. Understand as best as you can, you know, what are the conditions around what you want, what might hold you back. Predict the outcome. And if there are going to be arguments, have your argument that addresses those questions, those concerns. Be prepared. Ask for it clearly without reservation. So if I'm asking for payment to be a Forbes contributor, what's going to go better if I write an email to my editor and say, hi, you know, I wonder if I could have a little bit of your time. I've been writing now for Blip months, and I'm wondering if it might be possible if I could be compensated. Is that going to fly? No. It's full of doubt, full of vagueness, full of hesitation. What you need to do is say, you know, if possible, I'd like to take a moment of your time to discuss our compensation structure. You know, if you reflect back on the work I've done in the past Blip months, these are some of the key trends, and then you list them. You know, I've this many views, this many that have gotten 200,000 views. This has appeared in over Blip, you know, other publications. Data, evidence, validation for what you deserve. Okay, I'd also ask you to visualize success. I have a wonderful book also to recommend, Shakti Gawain's Creative Visualization, fantastic book. Sometimes we can't see ourselves having success. We don't really believe it. But if we can visualize it clearly with all of our senses, it's amazing how this works. It opens the door for us to marshal all of our resources, internal and external, to make this thing happen. Visualization is powerful. It has worked for me over and over. If you know me, you know I visualized writing my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, and even after 10 agents rejected it with some of the most ridiculous remarks, like, don't write it on everyday women, write it on celebrities. Really? Oh. After 10 rejections, it never occurred to me that this book wouldn't be written. I saw it. I saw myself walking hand in hand with my children into Borders, which sadly doesn't exist anymore. I saw it, and I never wavered. So check out that book, Creative Visualization, Shakti Gawain, and start visualizing. She talks about treasure maps. They're powerful. Try it out. Don't second-guess yourself, and also practice. When you are about to ask for something important, practice. Ask a friend, your spouse, your daughter. Ask, can I practice with you? How does this sound? Record yourself and listen. Does it sound powerful? Does it sound confident? Does it sound believable? All right. We're going through a lot of material here. I hope it's resonating. Step number 4 to power up your communications. Challenge power. So there's some tips here about that. Understand the existing power structure and the hierarchy and where you are in it. So again, this is all about how do I avoid being blind to the impact of my communications. You don't want to do what I did, just send out a missive by email and just get, you know, get a lot of attack back. You just don't want that. It's very traumatic. So understand the existing power culture. Where are you in it? Who can you challenge comfortably? Who is it appropriate for you to challenge? And why do you want to challenge? You know, understand. Know your audience and know their needs and wants. And you know, the point is, don't challenge just to challenge, but let me give you an example. I sit on a board of a singing group where I live in Wilton, Connecticut, Being on this board for 2 years, I have learned so much about diversity, about having an inclusion mindset, about how not to get pushed around. I have learned so much. And a lot of it is, how do I challenge? So, for instance, the president will send an email, we have to make these five decisions. Blip, 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 blip. And I noticed in the beginning of the board, my board experience, nobody would respond right away. Everyone would wait for someone else, everyone. And I said, what am I waiting for? Let me think about what I think the answers are, or the solutions or the strategies I would put forward. And I started being the first one to respond. And it immediately got things going. Am I always right? Was my direction always accurate? No, not at all. But it absolutely got things going. So I challenged the status quo of everyone just waiting. No, I'm not going to wait. But in order to do that, to challenge power, you do have to be prepared. You have to master your domain. You have to know what you're talking about. So don't challenge until, you know, you have something worthwhile to put forth. Never claim to know what you don't know. That's always the first way to lose respect and credibility. And we've talked about this. Never seek to make others look bad. It's just going to backfire. But state your views powerfully, without reservation. You can even say, you know, in my board experience, I didn't know, you know, the board experience in the singing is not my sweet spot. Career coaching is my sweet spot. So I would say something like, to answer this question, my take would be this, blip. Looking forward to everyone's view. So I wasn't pretending I knew everything about, you know, how to produce that CD or whatever. But I would say, this is my take, and then I would justify it. So state your views powerfully without reservation, and learn to challenge what exists so that your ideas can be put forward and acted upon. Finally, almost finally, number five, the fifth strategy for powering up your communications is obtain mentors and sponsors. Okay, why? Because it's going to help you. I like the term clout, generate clout. The clout is the power to direct, shape, and influence. So, let me briefly talk about sponsors versus mentors. A lot of research has shown that men in corporate America naturally get sponsors. Sponsors are similar to mentors, but a little different. Mentors are someone who's 10 steps down the path, doing what you want to do in the way you want to do it, who can give you insight and guidance and support. A sponsor is that plus one other thing. They're powerful. They're at a higher level of power and influence than you are, and they can help pull you up with their recommendation. With being an ambassador for you, they can make things happen that you can't make on your own. So in any job, in any field, in any role, find mentors, find sponsors. And there's ways to go about that. Let me just leave you with this idea. You don't reach out to a stranger and say, will you be my sponsor or will you be my mentor? Never. It's off-putting, and I get this a lot, actually. Will you mentor me in coaching? The way it works is find someone in your sphere who you've already demonstrated your potential to. So let's say at your job you have a question about something and there's someone in another division who is a vice president who seems to really have it down. She's wonderful at this area of negotiation or whatever it is. Ask her a question. Go and ask. And hopefully the engagement that you have with each other be so positive that it will naturally morph into her saying, you know, if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to ask. And then, of course, you have to be respectful and not ask the next day something else. But that's how it builds, where you've already demonstrated your potential to that individual. Number six, now, finally, the number six way to power up your communications, build a powerful presence. How do we do this? How do we do this? Well, I'm going to give you the most important tip I have. Don't hide your light. Be who you are. Make your impact. Know what you care about. Know what you'll give up everything for, and then go for that. right? Don't hide your light under a bushel. Come up with a vision that matters to you, whether it's in your real estate business or in your graphic design business or in your role as a lawyer. What do you care about most? And how can you make your impact? And how can you make a difference there? And then be yourself. Master that. And don't be shy. Don't hide your light. Contribute in a way that matters to you, that, you know, when you're 90 looking back, you're going to say, yeah, I did and contributed and left behind and shaped what mattered most to me. There's another wonderful book, not about communication, but about the energy of money, and it's called that, The Energy of Money, by Maria Nemeth, and she says that power is doing what you said you would do with clarity, grace, and ease. I love that. Doing what you said you would do with clarity, grace, and ease. That's how you build a powerful presence. You created a vision for what you wanted to do, the impact you wanted to make. You shared that vision. You committed to it. And you supported it with clarity, grace, and ease. So there we go. Now it's at the top of the hour. I want to share with you some thoughts about how you can break through. What can you do starting today? Again, greater awareness equals greater choice. So start watching yourself. Where are you slipping up? Avoid saying sorry when you're not. Adding qualifiers like, oh, well, I'm thinking maybe this might be a good idea. No, here's my idea, right? Waffling, avoid it, avoid it. Know what you want to say and say it. Avoid asking permission when permission is not necessary. Start looking at when do you start to cave because it's uncomfortable for you to say what you want to say. And I would like you to look at, are you habitually the last person to speak, like my experience on the board? Flip it around. Start being the first person to speak, which is going to require you, you know, to be more prepared, certainly, and more sure of what you want to do, but start doing that. Here's a few other tips I want to throw at you. Take your seat at the table, just like the book Lean In, Sheryl Sandberg, talks about. Raise your hand for more growth. But to do that, get more comfortable with challenge and conflict. Build that boundary around yourself. Okay, you stated your point and it made some people mad. All right. If it's well-founded, it comes from the heart, it's said with love, and you don't have a hidden agenda that clashes terribly with others, then there, so be it. Get comfortable with that. And when you start to shy away, try to lean in instead. Try to urge yourself to go in the opposite direction of shying away. And I would like you to think about, what do you deserve? What have you not been asking for? What do you need to negotiate and ask for? What do you deserve today? All right. Well, so I leave you with, think about what you've just heard in this hour, the top aha for you. What have I shared? Which of these top challenges feels most resonant with you now? What do you wish to grow stronger in, and what are you ready to let go of? Are you ready to let go of hiding your light? Are you ready to let go of waffling? Are you ready to put your stake in the ground and say, this is what I care about, this is what matters to me, this is what my priority is, or this is what I believe that is going to move this company, this role, this project forward? What is calling you? What's your compelling vision right now? And of everything we just shared here, what one area do you feel you need to address now? And who can be your helper? Because communication is a multi-layered, multi-dimensional, deep thing. And often we don't know how we're coming across. We need someone outside, someone who sees the future vision of you before it's hatched, someone who believes in you, who cares for you, who is your ambassador. We need someone outside ourselves to help us see where we're not seeing the greatest potential or acting in a way that's going to help us arrive at our greatest potential. I so hope that was helpful. Now it's time for questions. But Before I take your questions, I just want to share with you, if you want any more support, any more in-depth support, there are three great ways to do it. I have a number of private coaching programs, a one-hour private consultation, a four-session Jumpstart Your Career Change, and a 10-session Career Success Breakthrough Coaching Program. They're all on my website, elliottcommunications.com/coaching-services. You can see, you know, all the details about that. But for being a Career Success Training participant, which I so value, I'm happy to give you 20% off any of those three private coaching programs. Just find the one you want, and some of them require that we have a brief discussion and make sure that that's the right fit. But for the private consultation, certainly you can just jump on and use the code CST20 for Career Success Training, CST20. When you check out, that gives you a 20% discount on those three private programs. I hope you'll take advantage of them. I'd love to help you. Also, check out my amazing career project, the 16-week group coaching program for women. The next session starts in January. We're having a wonderful session now. And you can find that at www.amazingcareerproject.com. I also have a free weekly video blog series that I just launched. Episode 4 is out today. And you can see that at elliottcommunications.com/blog. And do check out my Forbes blog, as we talked about. All right, that was a lot of content. A lot of content. Yay! I'm seeing questions here, so I'm going to take them in the order that they come. Thank you. So from Sherry, your points are resonating. Take nothing personally is great advice. I need to practice this. Thanks, Sherry. I appreciate hearing from you. Me too. That is a hard one for me. That is one that I struggled with. A lot of them I struggled with. I needed validation, a lot of validation. I was always seeking it. And when I didn't get it or someone was snarky or put me down, I would take it so to heart. It's taken me a lot of work to shift and create a boundary around myself where I don't catch every ball that's thrown to me. So thank you for sharing that. Sherry, you have some more comments here. Honestly, Kathy, all six of these points resonate with me, and I thought I was pretty good in this area, but I clearly can improve. Oh, well, wonderful point. None of us have arrived. It's always a growth process, and that's what's so fun about it. You know, even when we're a master in a particular area, it's important to be the student again, because sometimes when we think we know everything, we just close doors. Doors are closed to us because we're not seeing how our habitual way of behaving is not paving the way for growth. So don't beat yourself up. You know, if you're feeling like you're rocking your communication, I don't want you to leave here thinking that's not true. This is just more food for thought about maybe getting to the next level. Wonderful. Thanks, Sherry. And Nicole, thanks for writing. Here's what Nicole says. Hi, Kathy. What about if you are aware that your discomfort is making you emotional in the moment? Isn't it better to cave than burst into tears? Ooh, what a question. I guess my question, you say, is how to not lose ground when you can feel yourself losing control. Bow out gracefully and not do more damage. I love this question, and how real life is this? So I think you're absolutely right. I think the confusion is in the word cave. Caving, in my opinion, is you state your point. You're unequivocal. This is how you see it. This is what's really important to you. This is your view. And someone pushes back and gets irate or mad or puts you down. Caving to me is, okay, all right, you can have it. And I've done that too when I can't take it or it's not important enough to me. Caving to me is you just cave down. Okay, all right, whatever. Some of my experiences on the board that I talked about earlier are just like that. You know, if we're going on and on and on about some small point that really doesn't matter to anyone, I'll cave. Okay, great, fine, let's go that way. But in general, when it's something important that you really care about, caving is not the way to go. Another way, as you're pointing out, is to say, is even to admit, you know, this is making me very uncomfortable. I'm having some thoughts and emotions that are coming up that I would like some time to process. So before I respond back, You know, let me think about all of this because you've given me a lot to think about, and I'll get back to you very soon about it. I think that's better than caving. Does that make sense? What a great question, and so real life. I love it. Nicole, write me back if that makes sense or you need a little more clarification. Wonderful question. Thank you. And Kathy, hi, Kathy. I think you were the one who just signed up. I'm thrilled. So Kathy's question is, how do you communicate effectively with someone who is black and white and also bullheaded? Oh, good question. How many of us can relate to that? So there's a lot to say about this. You know, I've even done a Forbes post on how to tell if your boss is a narcissist and how not to get fired by them. If you think there's narcissism in anything that you're doing with people that you're intersecting with, read this Forbes post. Because you do have to look at who you're dealing with. Some people, and I've dealt with more than my share of people with narcissistic personality disorder, and the reason for that, and I know you're not talking necessarily about narcissists, but I want to share it, they rise often to high levels in corporate America because the narcissism is mistaken for confidence, for being on top of it, for mastery. When you get to know the person, you see, uh-oh, And there are hallmarks of narcissism, and mostly they can't be challenged. If you challenge them, and I had this, it's horrible, they will drum you out with a murderous rage, and it won't be pretty. So if you're dealing with that, you want to get out from under the terrain of that person, under the arena of that person as soon as possible, because it's a disorder, and you will not win. But if you're dealing with just someone who's tends to be a little black and white and bullheaded, there's a number of approaches. I mean, I'd have to ask you, is this person ever going to change their mind? Are they ever open to new ideas? One thing I'd have you do, look at what's happening when they have been moved to change their mind. How did that work? Because that person has his or her own way of negotiating through what he wants or she wants versus what you want. So look at what has succeeded before in how to approach this person and see if you can align with that approach. I hope that's helpful. Well, these are great questions. Anybody? Oh, Nicole's back with, yes, that's a great strategy. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. No. Oh, so you're saying no need to always answer in the moment. Absolutely. And, you know, I remember in one of my jobs, I'd have the sales team come in and they wanted me to sign a $2 million deal that minute. And I would say, I'm not signing it that minute. My job is not to just say yes to you. My job is to protect my product. Boy, would they get mad. And then they'd bring more senior people in. I'd have five people in my office. And I'd say, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I can't think straight with five of you breathing down my neck. I will get back to you in 3 hours. Man, did that make them mad because they wanted to bully me. Well, you don't always have to answer in the moment. These are fantastic questions, my friends. Thank you so much. If there's anything else I can answer in the next 2 minutes, let me check again. Those of you on the phone, you can hit *7 and you can ask me a question. Or, again, you can submit it online. I am honored to be with you. I hope this was helpful. I do know that I gave you an awful lot of information. The point here was to give you as much depth as possible and new ideas to think about. How can I navigate through challenge in the world? How can I not hide my light? How can I share my gifts and talents and get support and trust and loyalty and great ambassadors who I love to work with? How do I get all this so that I can really be who I want to be in the world? That's the point. I hope it was useful. Reach out and let me know if you'd like any further help. Again, I'd love to help you in a one-on-one program. And definitely check out my Work You Love free weekly blog as well. Thanks, my friends. You probably want to know. I want to share this with you, and you can send me an email about this. On my website, I have a different two upcoming teleclasses, but this is what I'd like to do on November 20th. I'd like to offer something on exploring launching your own venture. So let me know if that's interesting to you. I get so many questions about that. How do I know? How do I even figure it out? Am I cut out for it? What would I do if I did it? So that's November 20th, and December 18th is just around the holidays, reducing stress, embracing wellness and balance. I want to talk about work-life balance. I know a lot of people say it's a pipe dream. I don't believe that. I believe there are ways we can get work-life balance and reduce our stress and manage our wellness. So let me know if those sound good to you. Shoot me an email, Kathy@elliottcommunications.com. If you have other ideas for other curriculum topics, I am all ears. I would love to hear from you. And I hope that was useful. Thank you, my friends. Have a wonderful month, and I'll see you in November. Bye-bye now.
The moderator has left the conference.